Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, February the 5th. Are you ready for your Super Bowl non-parties? Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Are you going to be following all the rules and regulations of what not to have at a Super Bowl party this Sunday?
Of course. And then, of course, what to have at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah. I heard something this morning. If you are in one of those situations, you're not supposed to have a communal chip bowl or dipping. Everybody's supposed to have their own little individual. It's like, you know, they can put that stuff out. I don't know how many people would follow it if they were going to be having even two people there, you know, let alone six or seven folks. So it will be interesting. All right. Are you ready for our Ever Wonder Why?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I like the new version, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Winston is the provider. Thanks you also. Ever wonder why stuffed furniture comes with a tag that say "Do not remove under penalty of law"?
I never even noticed that.
Oh, you just rip them off?
Oh. I would say there's maybe trade secrets in there.
Okay. At one time, manufacturers of stuffed furniture could not always be counted on to construct the furniture out of the proper materials. To protect consumers, state legislators passed laws that stiffened the penalties for such deception and required that furniture manufacturers attach to each piece of stuffed furniture a tag informing the buyer of the exact materials used in the furniture's construction. These laws also made it illegal for sellers of furniture to remove the tag. Therefore, the warning, "Do not remove under penalty of law," applies only to the sellers of the furniture, not to the consumers. For a long time, though, many consumers believed that the tag applied to them and they were afraid to remove it. Because of this, the tag now has been modified to read, "Under penalty of law, this tag is not to be removed except by the consumer." There you go. A little consumer law to get your Friday rolling, huh?
Outstanding.
Yeah. What was that line? The clover billboards down south, outstanding in their field, and you see the cow out in the middle of the field. Yeah. Oh, so has the weather, the rains for the last week or so, caused any surprises, or is it kind of like finally winter was here for a moment? Hooray! Hooray!
We didn't have much damage, actually, you know, from our parks perspective, and we didn't have any big trees. We did have a big widowmaker at Sequoia Park after the winds took care of that, but no major damage, that's for sure. I can tell you the improvements at the golf course have really made a difference as far as, you know, the flooding factor.
Yeah, the lake didn't show up this year to the same extent.
It shows up. I mean, it's still tidally influenced, and we have high tides and rain. We get puddles, but I mean, it drains within a day or even hours. So it's a lot better.
Yeah. Now, is that a joint effort between the city and the leaseholder, or is that something that the city did on its own as being the landlord?
So what we did is it used to be run by a corporation,
right?
Called Course Co. And back in 2018, they got out of the agreement, and we formed a nonprofit. And that nonprofit, it's now leased to. So we maintained all the employees there. It's run by a nonprofit. And then, as far as the improvements there, that's been a project that's been going on for about 15 years. It's called the Martin School Enhancement Project.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We finally got all the grant funding for it, and it's made a huge difference. You know, not only for fish habitat, that was the reasoning behind all the grant funding, but for flooding as well. It's and for the course itself, it's made a huge difference in its playability as well as its difficulty. So it's a lot. We're getting a lot of rave reviews, and the participation in golf, especially due to COVID, has never been better. So doing great out there.
Yeah, I know it's. Well, in talking with a lot of folks, you know, nobody really has any baseline trends to go with because things are so different now. You know, golf courses all over the place are great, but does that mean that they're going to hold after other options are back or not? Yeah, it just it's a challenge. I guess it's just kind of a challenge across the board. How about for you guys internally? I mean, do you have? I mean, obviously there's some successes as well as some challenges. Are you sensing that there's a consistency starting to develop a little bit, and the jobs are getting done now? On instead of a gee, I wish, we just kind of are doing the job now.
Yeah, I think we've adapted very well. You know, I think we've even come to the realization that some positions are actually more productive, you know, working from home and having the ability to work from home. And obviously, you know, our field crews and those crews that, you know, parks, water, you know, distribution, wastewater collection, you know, all of our field crews, they have to be, you know, out on the job. But, you know, some of the other positions, you know, planning positions, those type of things, you know, we've actually realized more productivity. You know, we're still getting jobs done. You know, the Skywalk was done somewhat on time. You know, some delays due to shipping stuff. But, you know, all of the other projects that we're doing, we've got the Henderson wastewater projects going and water. And, you know, the improvements at Sequoia Park, all of those things are still moving along, you know, as they would in non-COVID times.
The community interaction, Miles, is something that, yeah, you used to be able to just kind of walk in, pay your water bills, as an example. Not so right now. Did you guys get any blowback about that, or are people pretty understanding that things have to be different, and after things go back to where they were a little bit, we may be doing things slightly different from lessons learned, but we will be able to actually talk to you and see you and that kind of stuff?
You know, we had a very brief time where you couldn't walk in and pay your water bill. We're back to where you can come in now and pay your water bill Monday through Thursday. And we made a lot of modifications to the first floor. It's going to be more of a one-stop shop on the first floor, and all the other, you know, planning, engineering, other areas of responsibility are done via appointment. But water billing, dog licenses, those types of things are back to being walk-ins on the first floor. So, you know, I think we maybe did it, you know, we went to the purple tier for like a month, and then the modifications were done in the first floor. You know, we were in the process of doing that before that, and now people are able to come in and pay their water bill.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, you mentioned the zoo. What is the status of all things good or challenges at the zoo?
Everything's going well. The Skywalk is basically complete. We're going to be doing some beta testing to, you know, get some user experience on the Skywalk.
What does that mean? You put some people up there and see if they survive?
More for the interpretive signage. And
oh, okay.
But it's going great. You know, that was done on time. It was supposed to be done by October, but, you know, we had a couple of months delay due to some shipping issues. But
well, that's not bad, considering all the challenges, you know, only a couple months behind.
Yeah, no, it's great. And so we're hoping, you know, depending on what COVID's doing and those type of things, we'll be doing a soft opening locally for the locals, and then do a grand opening when things open up a little bit more, so that we can start attracting folks here. You know, we have a marketing plan in place, and we're ready to implement that, you know, when the time is right. So it's been doing great. And then adjacent to the zoo, the doing some improvements to Sequoia Park. We're going to have a new playground and new restrooms installed, and some parking in the northeast corner of the grass area there.
Now, are you going to wait for the weather to change so you can get into that, or is it okay to kind of have some mud sitting around if we get a couple more rainstorms?
We'll put measures in place to prevent anything, you know, in forecasted rain. But, yeah, we're going to be starting pretty soon. The restroom's being delivered. There's already some cyclone fencing up there now. So we'll start staging things and start doing some grading. We got to hook up the utilities and get that going. But, yeah, we can start now. It's not going to disturb, you know, a large area of grass, but it'll we'll have measures in place to prevent any, you know, runoff from the site and stuff. And we're hoping to be done, you know, by summertime with that project.
Now, you said bathrooms delivered. Are these prefab rather than constructed on site?
Yeah, prefab CMU units with wood siding. It'll fit the theme there, but it's two unisex bathrooms. It's similar to the ones at Del Norte, but with wood siding on them.
Just it's easier to maintain or to replace or just cheaper? I mean, why go that way rather than having something that would be a permanent?
All of those things. It's less expensive. They come packaged as design. You know, you don't have to pay for the design. You just have to, you know, get the utilities there. And then on top of that, they're very friendly for maintenance and vandal proof, those type of things. And yeah, it's more cost effective for sure.
So are those like the porta potties, or are they tapped into the sewer system?
Oh yeah, completely. You've been down to the foot of Del Norte there, right?
You mean Del Norte?
Yes.
I'll let one pass. The second time you're going to get popped.
All of the ones that we've installed recently, that one, the one at Hammond, where the basketball courts are.
Yeah.
That's a prefab as well.
Oh, so that same outfit. Okay. Those look like they've been well received.
Yeah, no, they work great. Even the one at Truesdale, that was a different company, but the one at the foot of Truesdale is also a prefab.
Is that kind of the direction to go with a lot of the stuff? I know that there's been some discussion, I don't know how current it is, about having public bathrooms or more bathrooms down in the Old Town area. And, you know, there were a couple of them that were put in and there were issues associated with it. Is the prefab kind of the direction that most municipalities and jurisdictions are now going to rather than the formal construction like the old days?
I'm seeing that. I'm sure, you know, depending on what you're looking for, you know, we had to make some modifications this one because we wanted to fit, you know, Sequoia Park. We weren't going to have, you know, the CMU blocks, you know, exposed. So we wanted to put up some wood siding so it has a little more natural feel. But yeah, I'm seeing in other areas that, you know, the prefab is a lot easier, you know, the design. You know, typically if you do it, you're going to have to hire somebody to design it and put the plans together. This all comes designed with the construction specs, and, you know, you can put it out to bid right away and not have to go through another step.
Do you see something like that being utilized, like in Henderson Center and some of the other neighborhood areas where there are large usage, I guess, either a lot of walkers or, you know, retail neighborhoods that aren't quite as big as Old Town is, or in that fashion?
That's interesting. You know, we never had that request, but I think it's a good idea. You know, we have a public parking lot down there. That's about the only property that we own down there, but that's something that we could definitely look into. You know, we're, you know, we, like you said, the Old Town restrooms, we modified those and made them open 24 hours for a while and then had some issues with that, but they're still there, and we open them up. And we're also looking at small boat launch underneath the bridge there.
Sure.
We get some grant funding for a brand new restroom facility there too. That's also going to house our water rescue for Humboldt Bay Fire. So that one is a little bit more. That one won't be prefab because we have that additional area for the water rescue equipment. So that's going to be a design building by Pacific Affiliates.
So are these things pricey? I mean, you said it's less expensive, but let's say if a neighborhood or you want to put one in a park that currently doesn't have one, is it like $50,000 or something like that? Or are you talking more?
Oh, you're pretty good. Yeah, they're about 45, I'd say, packaged and delivered. But, you know, then you have to pay to, you know, have a mason put together the CMU blocks. You got to get a plumber and an electrician to get everything in there. But
Don't forget your development fees. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning from his office, Miles Slattery, city manager for the burgeoning community of Eureka. How's that? Yeah.
Great.
We're burgeoning, whatever that means. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Reed Deck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Miles, looking at some of the big picture stuff, you know, with COVID, it's really easy to get locked into some of the smaller stuff. With some of the pressures for housing, okay, it's easy to get locked into that one department rather than kind of stepping back a little bit. The zoo, certainly with some of those projects. When you step back, what do you see as the number one challenge that's out there, either that the community is referencing to you or reminding you of, or that you see that's out there looming that you want to try to get your arms around before it becomes a big issue?
I would see it more of an opportunity than an issue, but economic development, I think we're putting a lot of effort into that. We have a lot more staff concentrating on economic development. We're working on an economic development plan strategic update. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities out there for us, you know, especially with the fiber coming over to Woodley Island. We have a lot of, you know, different businesses. We brought over a planner into economic development now to concentrate on cannabis, and cannabis has done very well for us. And, you know, we want to work on, you know, more economic development. The biggest part of that is going to be our local coastal program. We're updating that. I think that's going to be not only a key part for the city, but also for economic development. Getting some of the zoning for coastal-dependent industrial kind of lax so that there's more uses allowed there, because we have a lot of property that's zoned that way, and we want to have a little bit more flexibility as to who we can attract onto those properties. And
You mean you're tired of mowing the grass out there along the waterfront?
I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of vacant properties that are coastal dependent. There's a lot of properties that are listed as coastal dependent that don't have access to water, so they can't really be used for that. So we're in discussions with the Coastal Commission. We've given them our draft. We're waiting back for comments. We're hoping that, you know, we can agree upon something that's not only good for protecting coastal resources and protecting, you know, fishing-related industries, but also so that we can expand the uses in that area. And I think that I want to get out in front of before it does become an issue. It's been an issue for a long time, and I want to get out in front of that and make sure that those changes are made so that we can attract different companies here. You know, we have some pretty good lines on interested parties for the Brainerd property that we annexed. I think that's a good opportunity for economic development there as well.
Yeah, you look historically, the mills that were there and some of the, I guess, the utilizations that were there before 71, you know, before the Coastal Commission kicked in. It's so different, but since that time, what, 50 years, 40 years? There really hasn't been a whole lot of new construction. You look at Robin Sherry's Pier, okay. Mm-hmm. Great Pearson's project. And other than that, pretty much everything is governmental, isn't it? That has happened down there?
For the most part, yeah, but we have stuff on the horizon. You know, we're working on the the DDA. I'm sorry, I can't speak right now. But we're working on the DDA with Schneider and Bodie for the Samoa Bridge properties. You know, that's going to be a future development. You know, we had Schneider also did a project on the corner of I and 2nd there. We're looking to do more of that. What's good about the Brainerd property is it's already general industrial, so it's got a lot of opportunities. We've had probably three different interested parties in there. Two we're still working with and seeing whether or not that can happen.
Is interest, but is it the zoning? Is it the challenge associated with that that's the big deal? Is it soils? Is it just the permitting through the coastal commission? What do you see as the turn off, other than the community not really growing and, you know, the normal stuff that you run into anywhere?
Well, I think that it's all of those things, you know, like England Marine, that's another one. So England Marine's going to be putting development in probably hopefully starting this summer. They're relocating to across from the Wharfinger. That didn't have any zoning issues. It's zoned appropriately. It's in the coastal zone. We can still get a coastal development permit. They're working on that now. The issue there was the soils. And, you know, when you're along the waterfront like that, you have to invest a little bit more money in order to make it, you know, structurally sound. But they've figured out a way to do that, and they're going to be putting a 15,000 square foot facility there, hopefully starting the summer. Some of it is zoning, some of it's that, some of it's the soils. Also, some of it's the property owners. You know, the one of the more desirable properties is the old GNR metal site there,
right,
of H&I, and that's owned by the railroad, and they have a very unrealistic opinion of its value, and there's been interested parties there, and I don't know why. I think they just want to hold on to it to have land holdings. I don't know why they're not interested in selling that property.
Yeah, I've heard that from a number of different folks, is that the railroad easement that was, I guess, gifted to them as part of putting in the line, that they're really stingy with that. And as you indicated, have a pretty high internal value set on that property, even though the appraisal, it doesn't necessarily support that position.
Yeah, it's even more desirable now. You know, we've got the waterfront drive connection there that we put in utilities, so there's water and sewer right at the road there. It's at the end of two main thoroughfares going through town. I mean, that's a good site.
Well, and it's clean.
You know, then
the property's clean now.
Yeah, it's clean now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, and the other site that we're going to be looking at, and I hope comes up in strategic visioning this month, is the C2F property there. You know, that's been through so many different renditions of, in my opinion, too much public input. I think we need to put that property out to an RFP and not put any constraints on that RFP. Basically just say, hey, look, this is zoned this way. This is what utilities are there. You give us your best proposal on what you want to do there.
Yeah.
I think that previous efforts have been trying to spend other people's money, and I think we need to allow the developers to come up with an idea and pick the best one that they know pencils out and that we think is best for that area.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, paving has been, you know, I'm sure that's the number one heartache that you've got right now, or point of indigestion. People stop you in the grocery store or, you know, at the restaurant as you're standing outside waiting for your takeout.
Yes, of course.
Talking to you about, you know, what about this? What about that? The roads, you know, 14th is getting really nasty. Certainly Booner has got its areas. Harrison has got it. And a bunch of the others that were deferred before PG&E started to bring in the moles and have everything all torn up. Is there a comprehensive paving plan for the streets in Eureka that are going to really address this? Or is it going to continue to be piecemeal?
Well, It is going to be comprehensive. You brought it up, perfect timing. Our CIP is going to council on the 16th, and we're coordinating that CIP to kind of coincide with the budget. Obviously, Measure H passing, that was a very high priority for the community, and it's going to be a high priority for us coming up. I think we're going to be having at least an extra $2 million a year to go towards that. And so our CIP is going to lay out those priority streets. 14th is already going to be underway. That's going to be from, I don't want to get the streets wrong, but the vast majority of 14th is going to get paved really soon. And then the other streets that you're referring to are going to be part of a comprehensive plan that we're going to put together.
Now, when you say say paving, you're saying real deal paving, not just the squares that were cut up and when they start throwing out.
Yeah, not a quarry seal. Not there's going to be a complete. Some of these streets are going to need to be reconstructed, like West Hawthorne. You know, that's going to be like a full grind and redo. Many of them, though, will just be an overlay, similar to what we've done on Harris. You know, and part of the Henderson project, which is going to be a utilities project. The vast majority of Henderson is also going to be paved as a part of that utility project as well.
End to end?
Overall, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not end to end, I shouldn't say. It's from basically Henderson Center all the way to Fairfield.
Boo!
For the most part.
Okay. I was hoping S Street all the way down, so you'd straight run through.
So classic. I'll never forget Frank when he was mayor. Bruce Young and I was the deputy, and Bruce was the director for Public Works, and we just had like a half an hour long. You know, we had no money back then for roads, and telling them, you know, we don't have a dime for roads, and we get done with it, and then right after that, Frank says, "So when are you guys going to pave the 8th Street dip?" I just told you, we got no money, Frank.
Well, you know, at least you don't have to worry about Thrill Hill anymore, right?
Yes.
God, it's frightening that all these landmarks have become historical memories. Gee. Yes. Oh, well. Hey, it sounds like you got a lot of cool stuff on your plate, and look forward to seeing some of these things come into reality here in the next little bit. Thanks for your time, Miles.
Well, thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
And hopefully your team will win, even though you're not going to be in a crowd this weekend.
Unfortunately, I don't like either of them, so I'll be with the family and voting on numbers that I win in the betting squares.
legal betting, of course. Thanks, bud.
Of course.
See everybody
right, have a good one.
On Monday.